You are listening to WWBC Coco, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI Coco, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indy Atlantic, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL, Coco, 99.9 FM.
Hello, Space and Treasure Coast. This is Sita Biggie on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here in sunny Cocoa, Florida. We're on AM 1510. We're on FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7, and we can be heard all over the World Wide Web.
We can, and that's on 1510 WWBC. You can see on demand. You can click on that and see all of the shows for Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. And currently, right now, we're in the process of rebuilding our website, but very soon you'll be able to get all of our shows for the last 10 years, all 52 weeks, all of our great guests. You'll be able to search for those right on our website, SitaMediaInc.com. And we also have a Facebook page that has all of that as well. Done a great job, Sita.
So Ellen, myself, and Samantha, we're here every Monday in this studio with Paul. And we have great guests, Ellen. We sit down here and we chat in a very unscripted manner. We give out valuable information to people that need it. And most of the times I'll get texts and emails from people who are saying that even though they don't use the information right away, they have it.
Yes.
And so today's no different. So for our listeners who are tuning in this morning to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, I am Sita Biggie, and a lot of people says, oh, you should identify yourself more. And I do. I try my best to. But Samantha and I started chatting last weekend and the week before, and we got scolded because we didn't say, hey, who we are.
Oh, we'll be right back.
We'll be right back. So we are. Here, we're saying it right now. Ellen, we did miss you.
I missed you.
Thank you for being my right hand behind the scenes. And Samantha, thank you for being the co-host that we need when Ellen can't come here. And even when Ellen is here, it's wonderful to have you with us.
It's a pleasure to be a part of the team.
Great addition. So, I mean, this weekend was great. I worked Saturday and Sunday, and I have to say, I heard so many wonderful stories, true life stories, life-changing stories, transformational stories about people who received the child credit and what they're going to do with it. And so many people are using it to buy school clothes for their children, and others are using it to buy something that the kids need. Somebody told me they were going to be buying a new stove for their home so they could cook meals for their children. Someone is buying a refrigerator. Someone is buying a bed for their kids. I mean, for those who say that we should not be giving out this money to families that need it, I say to them, if you get it and you don't want it, you could send it back to the IRS or give it to charity. But for the people, the low-income families and the families who are struggling and facing so many challenges, hip, hip, hooray for them.
Absolutely, because those are things that are necessities. And as we prepare to send the kids back to school at the tail end of this COVID thing and trying to get it under control, it's great to know that they're going to go back and they're going to have new clothes and they'll be able to move forward and start to reassimilate to getting to know seeing their friends again.
Right. And Ellen, I know you don't have children, but I'm sure you know people that are taking the money and buying some for pets.
Pets and upgrading their life and doing some things that they may not have had the opportunity to do, fixing their cars.
Yeah. How many people we had who called
helping out their families
and said they're fixing their cars.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
I fixed mine.
Anyway, so today we have a great lineup. I'm always scoping out for really good guests that our sponsors can help sponsor the airtime. And I found a lovely lady. Her name is Anoop Judge, and she is the author of Law, What's It All About? And she is a blogger. She is an attorney. She's doing so many wonderful things with Amazon. And I don't want to waste our airtime saying what she does. I'm going to have her tell our listeners here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. And she's on the phone. So Anoop Judge is going to be chatting with us in just a second. And our second guest, as you all know, is Stacey Sullivan, who happens to be one of our ABWA sisters. She owns a jewelry store here in town. She's a third-generation jeweler. And Sam, you know who she is. You've met her a few times. Ellen, of course, you know who Stacey is. She's on her way in, and she'll be talking about her third-generation owner-operated business, Stacy Sullivan's Jewelry and Design Studio. And so we'll wait for her while we go to Anoop. So, Anoop, good morning, and thank you for taking the time to call in from San Francisco.
Good morning, Sita. Thank you for the opportunity. I'm excited to be on your show.
Well, we are grateful that you woke up early so that you could call in and chat with us a little bit about yourself. And man, you're one busy lady. And as a fellow Indian to another Indian, I tell you, immigrants such as us and other immigrants, we add so much to the spice of life right here in the United States and around the world.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more, Sita. And that is what my novels are all about. The South Asian diaspora in the context of 21st century America. And my latest novel, which is titled The Awakening of Meena Rawat, was released on May 26, 2021. Yay!
Yes!
Yay.
Everywhere.
Well, you make me so proud because, you know, when we saw some of the things about you on the web, I mean, it says Indian American author Anoop Judge nominated for a Pushcart Prize. I don't really know what a Pushcart Prize is, but the idea that you're nominated for it makes me feel like it's me, and I'm happy for you.
You're such a bubble of energy, and it's so good to speak to you this morning. But the Pushcart Prize is one of the highest literary prizes or recognition that is given to a work of fiction. And I was given that as I was nominated for that because of an excerpt from my novel, as I told you, The Awakening of Meena Rawat, which you can find at Amazon, BarnesandNoble.com, Target, or Walmart. And in order to be nominated for it, it's not that you can nominate or a friend or even a teacher or mentor. Your excerpt or your short story, which is what it's awarded for, has to first be published in a literary journal. So I feel really fortunate that first an excerpt that I created a short story out of was initially published in Green Hills Literary Lantern, and then the esteemed editor of this literary journal nominated that story for the Pushcart Prize. So it's quite a process, and that's why I advertise it, because I didn't win the Pushcart Prize in 2019 for it, but just the nomination itself, because it's not in your hands at all. It's something that's recognized as a small achievement in the publishing world. So that's my claim to fame as to this novel, which is my second novel. My third novel, No Ordinary Thursday, picked up by Amazon's Lake Union Publishing, is slated for release in August 2022.
We're so proud of you. I'm so, so grateful that we hooked up, so to speak, through Facebook. Thank God for Facebook, right? I mean, Facebook have a lot of negativity, but in this case, it was positive. So tell our listeners here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends a little bit about your background, and when did you start writing?
So I've always written, that would be fair. I did English literature at Hindu College in Delhi University. Then I fell into law. I met and married my husband in New Delhi. 31 years ago, I immigrated to the U.S. I continued my legal studies. And then I acquired a JD, which is a Juris Doctor, from JFK University in California, and I passed the bar exam. So I'm also an Esquire. I practiced for 7 years as a litigator, handling cases in state and federal courts. And then I had to stay at home to raise my kids, especially because my younger child was diagnosed with a medical condition. Thankfully, all is well. And when my kids started to launch themselves into the world, I wanted to go back and pick up where I'd left off, but I found that the legal profession didn't interest me at all. Instead, I went back to my first love, which is writing.
Wow, that's interesting. So for our listeners who are tuning in to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends this morning, we're speaking with an award-winning author, a blogger, and also a TV anchor, Anoop Anuja Judge. So, and you also did a little bit of TV anchoring, I should say.
Yes, I did. That was in the past. I believe that was 2017, 2018. I was anchor for a local TV show here, which played on Oakland, San Francisco, and San Jose. Unfortunately, it folded because it required a huge investment, and for the producer to keep coming up with investment for every weekly segment became too tough. It's now a YouTube channel, but I got a full time into my writing, and so I'm still very good friends with them. They want to have me on their show, but I'm no longer doing the anchoring. It was great. It was a great experience for me.
Tell us a little bit about your publishing journey to get traditionally published.
Yes. As many people listening in, if there are writers out there, if they want to be traditionally published authors, they know that that's challenging, because Lee and Lowe released a study some years back which showed that only 10% of the books published in the United States in the last 10 years have been by a person of color. Can you imagine that? Only 10%. And that put the industry back on its heels in shock, because nobody had actually accumulated the numbers or collated the numbers before that. And the industry let out a shocked gasp. We, as aspiring traditionally published authors or traditionally published authors to be of color, always knew that, how hard it is and what an uphill struggle it is. So I'd say I sent about 120 or 130 queries, and then, which is the traditional mode of, you know, interviewing agents or asking agents to look at your manuscript. And then I also attended a conference, a writer's conference. And this was just during pandemic, had just begun. And so everything had turned to Zoom. And one of the agents I had a 10-minute slot with, think of it as, you know, being on that Shark show, you know, that TV, you know, the one where entrepreneurs pitch
Shark Tank.
Yes.
So you had to pitch basically pitch yourself on Zoom to all these agents and people who can help you. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I got you. But you know, you have to have a lot of self-confidence and believe in yourself as well, because like you say, you know, Indian people traditionally, I can't speak for other races and other cultures, but our families, because they struggled so much and faced so many challenges to either come to the United States or even in their home countries, they concentrated on the academic, become a doctor, lawyer, engineer, open a business, you know. And so nobody ever said, when you grow up, you're going to be a good writer. I mean, they'll be like, go sit under the tree and eat a mango and come back. You know? Because the creative side wasn't explored. Nobody explores the creative side of their children, which is so wrong, because now we're learning that we can do it. We can do everything. We can balance it well.
Yes. And amazing that you say that, because you're right. Our stories need to be told. Fiction, what I love is a quote by Balzac, who said, fiction is the stories of conflicted nations, you know. So I'm sure I'm getting this wrong, but something to that
effect.
Something to that ilk. Yeah, to that effect, he said that. And I love that, because you really understand, you know, non-Indians really need to understand the rich culture of their new neighbors, because we are one of the fastest growing ethnic groups in this country at a rate of 67%.
And guess what? And most of us are fiscally responsible and socially liberal, and we vote. So people need to pay attention to us. We just don't take information and don't do anything with it. We do something. So you're right. They need to pay attention. But I heard yesterday that a friend of mine said when she went to India, people were nodding their head like for certain things, for either yes or no or maybe. And she didn't understand the culture. And I said, you know what? I have to tell my friend Anoop Judd, somebody need to write a book about the nod, the head nod in India.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, my latest book is exploring what's happening in India right now with the growing fundamentalism, you know, and it's just terrifying to watch what a country that's been for years so liberal and tolerant in actually being a melting pot of different religions and cultures, ethnicities and regional languages is now has this growing nationalism fervor and what it's doing to its people, to innocent people.
Right, so, and it's happening all over the world. So somebody needs to actually write that. So about your writing process, do you write every day or do you have an aha moment when you're cooking and you're like, oh, I got to turn the stove off and jot this down? Or I know me, when I wrote my book, it just came to me everywhere. And, I don't know if I told you, but I did write a book called 18 Brothers and Sisters. And it's about my my childhood and my experience in Trinidad. But I would find sometime I would be doing something and then I'm like, oh, I got to write this on my hand. I just had a really good point. Where do you find the time and where do you write? How many hours a day?
Okay, so that's such a good question, Sita. I write almost every day from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. because that's when I write. That's when my creative juices are flowing. Then the rest of the day takes over. I'm involved in my husband's companies in a little bit of a legal way and managing them. And of course, managing my home. I have two fully grown children, but who are single and still require me. So that and a lovely social circle and between community outreach. So I do write in the morning. And yes, the best inspiration strikes sometimes, you know, late at night when I'm alone. So I always have a diary next to my bedside or when I'm walking my dog. And thank goodness for technology and notes in my iPhone, because I'm always writing new storylines when people tell me, when I write a show, when I read a book, when I listen to people like you.
Yeah.
So that's what
I do. Miss Anoop, where do you get the stories from?
Yes, stories are always in my head, whirling around in my head. Then it's literally, I'm watching a show and I'll have an aha moment as to, aha, what would happen if this was turned on its head and if this was something that was a problem in the South Asian community. For example, that No Ordinary Thursday, I told you this book that will be released in August 2022, that came about when Priyanka Chopra married Nick Jonas. And because of the 10-year age difference between them, I found that the Indian community, women of my age, were all up in arms and they were like, this is cradle snatching and this is, how can she do this? Marry somebody who's so much younger. And so I decided to write about a fictional character, Maya, who is being proposed to by her boyfriend, who's 12 years younger to her, on the same night that her brother kills a girl in a DUI. And what happens to a broken, already broken family?
Sounds like a Bollywood. Wow. It sounds like a Bollywood film in the making, Anoop. But you know, talking about the Indian aunties, you could sit down in a room full of Indian aunties and you could walk out feeling dejected and sad, or you could walk out feeling like a millionaire. Because they address everything about raising children, raising animals, marrying somebody, not marrying somebody, who's fat, who's thin, who's light-skinned, who's dark-skinned, who has a big house, who has a small house. And unfortunately, we live in a culture, the Indian families anyways, that I know, very judgmental. So I'm glad you're writing about these things, because I don't think they help our children when they do stuff like that, because especially when it comes to colorism, that drives me crazy sometimes, because I'm like, hey, Tell the dark-skinned Indian people that they're beautiful, too. It's okay. Nothing's going to go wrong if you tell them that, you know?
Yeah, see? That's a novel in the making.
Yes.
And I already have a novel outline for that, because you're absolutely right. It's, colorism is practiced way more by Indian people than by non-Indians.
Right, and people don't know that. And a lot of people don't know that. When I tell them that, they're like, really? And then I quickly Google an article and I send it to them about Bollywood and the dark-skinned girls versus light-skinned. And I'm like,
absolutely.
It's
Hispanics are the same way.
Look, see, Samantha said Hispanics are the same way. Yeah. So tell us, what are you working on next? We have 3 minutes and we just want to get in a couple more questions with you. What are you working on next? Because it sounds like you have 100 books in your head.
Not 100 exactly, but 10 more.
Yes. Sure. Yeah.
Thank you, Sita. But yes, I'm working on a novel about a woman, a Hindu man, and a Hindu woman and a Muslim boy who are torn apart by their family, not allowed to marry on the wedding day. She's pregnant, has to flee. She's in the United States now and reaches out to her daughter. And so it has the backdrop of the Hindu-Muslim conflict. That's still a working manuscript. I hope to be completed by the end of this year. But your readers and your writing community can always find my latest updates on my blog, which is called thebrownneighbor.com. That's where you'll find me. I put up blog posts twice a month. And I also put up the latest updates about my novels in print and, interviews and all that good stuff.
Right.
So thebrownneighbor.com.
Do you have a favorite author? Like, what are you reading now?
Yes. Right now, I'm reading Beach Read by Emily Henry. I love Leanne Moriarty. I am going to jump into The Secret Keeper of Jaipur by Alka Joshi next. And I finished The Forest of Enchantments by Chitra Devakonni Banerjee.
Awesome.
As to a favorite author, I read widely. And everyone. I read fiction, nonfiction, and every author that's, like upmarket fiction, that's my genre. I like to read them all.
And so give our listeners one more time your website where they can go and check out your books or your essays, short stories, whatever.
Yes, thank you. It's thebrownneighbor.com blog. And you just have to Google The Brown Neighbor or Anoop Judge. I'm also on Twitter, Instagram under Judge Anoop, Facebook Anoop Judge Author, Twitter as The Brown Neighbor. And you can go on Amazon. A friend of mine the other day at a party on the weekend said, just go to Amazon, Google Anoop Judge. So there you have it.
Thank you so much for your time. We will make sure we put all of that on our website and on our Facebook page so that everyone can find you. What a fantastic conversation
She's
today.
Awesome.
Thank you
I'm
so much for calling
friendship.
In. Absolutely. Yeah. You're so good at that. Folks, we're going to be listening to our sponsors real quick, and then we'll be right back with Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right after these messages.
Viewpoint with Sita and Friends is sponsored by the friends and family of Sita Begee, author of 18 Brothers and Sisters, and founder of Simply Sita Skincare, and these great sponsors. Cloud9 Mattress and Furniture is a family-owned furniture dealer featuring the best and most affordable brands. They offer all servicing for free. Delivery, setup, and home, removal of old furniture, and warranty. Work with a reputable and experienced local business as they strive for excellence with their customers. Scotty's been in the mattress and furniture business for 32 years. You can shop online, call, or stop into the showroom to place an order. They are conveniently located inside the Merritt Square Mall and service all of Brevard County and Central Florida. Super savings sale happening now. That's Cloud9 Mattress and Furniture. 321-459-2473. Visit them on the web at Cloud9. That's Cloud9, furniture.com. Again, 321-459-2473 for Cloud9, mattress and furniture. When you need medical care and need it fast, MedFast Urgent Care is faster and less expensive than emergency rooms. MedFast is open 7 days a week, now with 13 locations, including one in Volusia County. With so many MedFast Urgent Care centers, there is a MedFast near you. MedFast offers top quality care that is close by, and the number is easy to remember. That is 321-MEDFAST. You just call 321-MEDFAST. No one wants to wait in an emergency room for hours and get even sicker when you get the high bill. What you want is medical care fast. That's why you call MEDFAST, where most patients are seen and treated in less than an hour. So when you need medical care fast, call 321-MEDFAST. MedFast. Located in Titusville, Florida, Dixie Crossroads has been serving great-tasting seafood, char-grilled steaks, prime rib, chicken, fresh salads, and their famous corn fritters for over 31 years. The menu features the very best local shrimp and fish from Port Canaveral and ranges from low-cost sandwiches and baskets to high-end seafood combos. Visit this Florida favorite at 1475 Garden Street in Titusville. That's Dixie Crossroads, 321-268-5000. 321-268-5000, or visit them on the web at dixiecrossroads.com. Jotkoff Financial Group is a certified public accounting and a registered investment advisory firm with over 30 years of productive relationships with clients. Jotkoff Financial Group can assist you in meeting your accounting, tax, and business consulting and financial planning and insurance needs without expanding your internal workforce. With three locations here in Florida, here in Brevard County, Broward County, and Nassau County, contact Jotkoff Financial Group here in Brevard at 321-984-7345, located at 1122 South Wickham Road in Melbourne. That's Jotkoff Financial Group. On the web, you'll find them at www.jotkoff, that's JOTKOFF.com. Call the professionals at Jotkoff Financial Group today. Champion Home Healthcare, keeping your loved one happy, healthy, and at home. Available at 321-306-2551. Once again, 321-306-2551. Champion Home Healthcare is ACHC accredited and licensed, Medicare certified, and a TRICARE provider. Champion Home Healthcare, 306-2551.
There's something special about the place we call home. It's the place we live our lives, spend time with family and friends, and make our own. At St. Francis Reflections Hospice, we consider it a privilege to care for you wherever your home may be. We put our hands, hearts, and skills into providing high-quality hospice care in your home. To learn more about how we reflect life, love, and compassion, visit www.reflectionslsc.org.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here in sunny Cocoa, Florida. We're on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, and 100.7. And we can also be heard on the World Wide Web that Ellen will tell our listeners about.
Yes, on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, you can find us on SitaMediaInc.com. And by the way, the website is under construction right now, so it'll be just a couple more days and we should have that back up and running completely. You can still get your shows on there, though, on the on-demand station, also on 1510WBC.com. And of course, we have our Facebook page that has all of our shows as well.
That's right. And so what a great first segment we had, quite enlightening with attorney, blogger, and she's a litigator, former anchor, Anoop Judge.
A mother.
Anuja Judge. And Ellen, I know you, I saw Ellen's face when she said she's writing a story about a Hindu girl who's married, Muslim. You're thinking about Dr. Begee and myself.
I was like, I think I know that story.
Yeah.
It's a very successful love story, actually.
Yeah, but you know what it is? I think when you're educated and you have an open mind and you could look at each human being and realize that the spirit that lives in you lives in somebody else as well, that you could live with just about anybody and make peace with people.
That's right.
You don't really have to differentiate human beings and use, you know, fear and division and racism and any type of prejudice, because it's the same spirit that's making everybody breathe, talk, walk, and be part of the function in human society. So that book would be interested, because there's still that type of those type of issues in India and Pakistan and all over the world with religion and race and class and, you know, how that goes, right?
Yeah, it's sad.
It's not good. It's not good.
It shouldn't be something that we still see this today, but it is.
Too many people judging each other. So anyway, so that was our first segment. And our second segment, our guest has arrived. Everybody clap.
Yay, Stacy.
And first we want to say a shout out to Samantha's family who is here. Sam, introduce everybody really quick. Just tell us their names.
Well, we have my Tyler, Mark Anthony, Madison, and my amazing husband, Mark.
They came to listen in on our show today and be our listening audience in life. They want to hear what Stacy Sullivan has to say about Stacy Sullivan's Jewelers. So anyways, so no. Stacy, you're here. And you know what? Your website is it's great. It's so easy to navigate. Whoever did it, I'm sending them a big fat A+. And Ellen does a good website too. Always just happened that somebody hacked it. So she's fixing it for us.
Welcome to 2020.
I know. So Stacy Sullivan is our ABWA sister, as well as she's got our third generation jewelry shop right here that you see it every time. You can't miss it when you drive in Melbourne. And she's going to tell us a little bit about herself and her family, the background of the shop and jewels and everything else. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, thank you for listening. My name is Stacy, and I have the opportunity to carry on the legacy that my grandfather and grandmother started back in the 50s. And my dad was a jeweler, and my mom was one of the first gemologists from GIA. And she basically has taught me so much. So it's just a pleasure to be able to continue with our generations of customers.
Yes, and you do so much in town. I heard Samantha was talking to you about some of the events, and you support a lot of charities in town, and one of them that you support that's near and dear to my heart is Serene Harbor.
Oh, I love Serene Harbor.
I think
Serene
we both
Harbor.
Do Serene Harbor. Yeah, and you do Nana's House, and what else?
Well, we just basically have an open door to all the charities, and we are a resource-rich community, so I just want to spread awareness about the different organizations. This month is the Women's Center, who helped me in a situation where I needed more self-esteem and confidence, and they also helped me with an escape plan with my situation, and just gave me a lot more confidence in order to change my life and make it what I want.
Right. And I think with life, as you get older, it's more about we are our environment, right? We are who we are. Our culture is where we were raised. But a lot of us, as we get older and bolder and wiser, we learn to change our behaviors towards ourselves and others in order to have a more peaceful equilibrium for ourselves. And I find for myself that works.
Yes.
Like I had to look at my own self and my shortcomings and change myself in order to change other people. Because you can't really change people. You could just change yourself.
Sure.
And right? I think and the Women's Center is a special one, being so near and dear to your heart, because mm-hmm. they not only helped you survive, places like the Women's Center help women to learn how to thrive again.
Yes.
Right.
Surviving
yes.
is just one step. It's thriving and
and when you're
your
in
life.
It, you don't know you're just surviving. But mm-hmm. then when you kind of make goals and establish what you'd like your life to look like and then start opening that potential to grow, it's amazing. And I just, I actually had kind of a funny story because I was in their self-esteem class, and finally one of the ladies looked at me and she's like, why are you even here? And I said, well, I've been coming for over a year, and you know, it just shows you that with persistence, you know, it beats the resistance of the change.
That's a good post. With persistence, like beat resistance. Write it down. Sam writes down everything. But you know what you just described is the process of finding purpose in your life and self-realization.
Sure.
And not everybody can get to that place. Don't you want to bottle it and sell it sometime when
I
you
do.
Get to the
like? Well, my dad, he unfortunately passed away at 41, and 41 was the year I said, you know, I'm not gonna keep going on when I have the opportunity to thrive in my life, and I think it was just kind of like knowing that he couldn't after 41. It was like my chance to show him like what potential that I had and show myself. And being that we're still in the business that him and my grandparents started, I feel like it's a way for us to show other people. And I saw a beautiful saying yesterday. It said, women who glow can spread the glow to other women without dimming their light. And I feel like with the Women's Center, we just did a gem dig. It was a way to raise money. I think we raised over $600, just people coming and digging in the sandbox and getting gems in there. But it was about unearthing the potential, and, you know, God kind of buries those gems into
like
the earth.
Like within you.
Yeah. And then when the light comes out and what could be brought forth, you know, it was just kind of my way of a metaphor to supporting the cause.
Well, you know, we see you at ABWA all the time, and we never get to chat one-on-one because everybody's so busy, but so many people have family businesses, right? Mm-hmm. Whether it's hauling logs, or whether it's a cleaning company or an IT company, or maybe people have a clothing shop, and a lot of grandparents have a difficult time finding a grandchild who wants to carry the legacy. And I really applaud you for doing that. What was it that made you say, you know what, this is it for me?
Well, when I was in my early 20s, my mom won a trip to the jewelry fair in Basel, Switzerland, and she basically was kind of figuring out, who do I want to bring with me? But she said, I want to bring someone who will talk about it with me later. And that was really the pivotal change, because growing up in the business, you know, you see what your parents do, but they worked so hard, and, you know, I didn't want to be away from my family as much as I felt like they were away from me. So finding that balance of the lifestyle and being able to design. I saw the most amazing designs with the rarest gems that kings and queens and shahs, you know, purchased. And so that gave me the big picture of what jewelry was about. And I love recycling. It's just in me. I don't know. I have a Jewish history as well in my blood. But I just, as a good Christian woman, I just want to do the best for our resources. And I feel like between, you know, bringing forth charity organizations and helping them as I grow, I don't want to be a hidden gem anymore. I just actually put a sign on my building just on Friday for the first time, and I've been there a year, because I wanted time to mature and plant the seeds. And now that we have those, I kind of want to see what we can do.
And the legacy lives on when you recycle jewelry.
Definitely.
And I think that's a big thing with you. So expand a little bit about that, because people have like grandma's necklace or grandma's bracelet, or, you know, I know Ellen's, we've talked about this before, with people having just one little gem and they want to hold on to it.
Yeah.
Right. And so she offers them a chance to do something with it.
Yeah. So a lot of times a customer will have a very sentimental ring that they've worn forever, but, you know, it's an anniversary that they want to celebrate, and maybe they've inherited some jewelry. So we'll figure out a way to match their lifestyle, keep it maybe on a low profile, because, you know, now they're retired and they don't want to have to catch it on things while they're doing, you know, grandkids stuff or whatnot. And so we take all that into account and then put it down into a design, and a lot of the times it's already set into a really pretty design. It just needs that transformation, kind of like a caterpillar to a butterfly. And that's my metaphor, you know, that I feel like I've actually, a lot of my counselors is like, I feel like you're about to burst out of the cocoon.
So. Very good. Well, I myself also spent a couple of years in the diamond district doing jewelry design back home in New York. It was an amazing experience. It was during the height of the bling era. Mm-hmm. So that was a lot of fun. A lot of, you know, gaudy, big diamonds and jewelry, wedding pieces. So
now people want something they can wear to Publix.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a totally different dynamic now, and especially here in our little town. But are your jewelers knowledgeable?
Oh, yeah. The jeweler that works with me has been with me for years, and I like to say that he is Doug Sullivan caliber, which when I gave him that compliment, I think he almost like felt like he wanted to get down on his knees, because my dad, not just because he's my dad, but people show me his stuff he created. It has to be about 30 years, because he passed away so long ago. And it still looks brand new, and just the designs are timeless. You know, he was very forward thinking to make sure, like, it's not just a nugget ring that is going to go out of style. And I don't know. I just feel honored that we can carry on his caliber.
So aside from recycling, I'm going to assume you guys obviously custom jewelry. Do you do replacing of stones and fixing locks, simple small repairs as well.
Yes, we do all kinds of repairs, yes.
And we know that buying jewelry is not like buying a car, right? Each piece of jewelry has its own style, its own shape, and it's going to come with its own sentimental value.
Yeah, the story that goes behind it.
It does, right? So when somebody comes into you, I would assume there's a good amount of listening that you all have to do with your customers.
Yeah. I feel like listening is one of those things that my parents both passed on to me because my mom, you know, she still works with me side by side. She came out of retirement. And just hearing what people are looking for, I've heard from several customers that when they come in with a family diamond, the jeweler rarely wants to help them because they're not getting a good sale because they have their stone. But to me, that's more of an honor that they're entrusting us with their gem. And this is not about this one sale. This is about a relationship. And I think that's what else on top of the gem big Basel fair that I went to in 1998 was the fact that my parents had developed these awesome relationships that people, you know, where else are they going to go? And there was this misconception that Sullivan's Jewelers went out of business a few years ago.
Yeah, I was just going to say that we'd heard that, right? But it's not so. I wonder how something like that gets started because your business is established. It's been there for a long time and it's also credentialed as well, but yes. For diamonds and everything else.
Yes.
How did that get started that you all went out of business? I have no idea.
Well,
so we want to say you're not.
Yes, I am not. Unfortunately, in order to change at 41, I needed to kind of, my family's name was on the building, and I had a store on 192, which is still there, but I wouldn't leave it until I knew that it was, that I could carry on and it wouldn't be negatively affected. But even when I stepped back, my partner decided to do a going out of business sale, and I was not affiliated with it in one shape or form. So it was something that hurt my heart because he was trying to diminish the name, and to me, we've worked so hard to build the name, even he did. So you know, he's still in that location, and I wish him the best.
Yes.
So,
well,
it's a big enough town.
You look like you always take the high road, Stace.
Well, I'm really about win-wins.
Yes.
And, like, I haven't seen two of my kids in over a year and a half because I really want it to be a win-win, and they're not comfortable until the time comes. And, you know, that's something that was hard for me. And the Women's Center basically said, you know, there's going to be hard times that this whole transition is going to create. But on the side, we both live in the same town. So I just want them to know I'm just over here doing my thing in the meantime. And
keeping busy.
Planting the seeds. And, you know.
Like Ellen says, take your time. What is it that Marty taught us to say? You take your passion, turn it into profit.
Your talent, your gifts, and your abilities,
and you turn
and
it
do
into
your
profit.
Thing,
do
and
your
you
thing.
Turn it into profit. And,
right.
And radical acceptance is a big
right.
thing.
Right.
You can't change the past. You can accept it, and
but
hopefully,
I feel
in the
like
future,
you know, I want them to
better.
Be proud of who I am,
absolutely.
Whether they're with me or not. And I'm proud of what our family has established. And
so true.
The last thing I want is to let the generation stop here. You know, if it could go on to the fourth generation,
then why not?
I want them to be able to.
So when we talk about diamonds and jewelry, everybody thinks about a bride and everybody thinks about her style and the engagement ring and all the emotional, sentimental moments that comes with it. Give our listeners here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends a scenario about brides and potential bridegrooms coming in. How do you help those people?
Well, a lot of times because of Pinterest and things, a lot of the men will come in with a picture. And that's nice because it gives us almost like a runway opportunity to see, okay, what is she drawn to? And then a lot of times we'll put her personal style into it. Maybe she liked a round diamond and an emerald cut. So in my mind, okay, she likes the sparkle of the round, but she likes the uniqueness of the emerald cut. So I say, well, what about a radiant cut, which is basically mm-hmm. those two combined? And he says, I don't know what you're talking about. And I said, I couldn't guarantee you that based on what you're showing me, I think she'll like it. And it's unique because not everyone knows about it, you know. So it's only been around since the 70s. So I just try really hard to personalize and...
and give a little guidance.
Yeah.
That's what they need. That's what people need is a little bit of guidance. So how does the jeweler at, you know, the stores that you're calling it, Stacy's?
I call it Stacy Sullivan's, and I felt the need to start that way because I wanted to let people know I'm not over there anymore.
Yeah,
I'm
that's what we have to be make sure on our show we say it's Stacy's Sullivan's.
Street?
So, no, my grandparents is the one that's on Babcock that my aunt and uncle run, and they actually gave me showcases to get started, so we're a very close family. So, we complement each other, those two stores. I have cousins that work there, and so we're... you know, I do appraisals, whereas they don't. So, you know, anything they can refer or vice versa. And then my old store was on 192, which is now Walden Jewelers. And that was my former last name. So, you know, I just want to make sure they know I'm not there.
So tell us
there.
Your physical address. Tell our listeners on Viewpoint
with
Cedar and Friends.
If anyone knows where Hotel Melby is, I'm directly across the street from them at 1916 Waverly Place, and that's in downtown Melbourne. And I chose that location because I wanted parking. So we have parking behind us, in front of us, and
at the Melby
Patty Corner. We have it everywhere. So if you don't know where to park, just give me a text and say, how do I get there? And I'll send you this awesome little video that helps you park and just run in and have your ring cleaned. It's real easy. Or you can come in and do something
more
exciting.
That was smart. That was a good business sense to have it right near the parking lot. Because that is a problem in downtown Melbourne now.
Yes.
So how does your jeweler at Stacy Sullivan Jewelry handle diamond certification and appraisals?
So my jeweler doesn't do any of that.
Okay.
My mom and I are both GIA certified, so we are the ones that you'd want to see in order to have either an estate appraisal or an insurance appraisal. Sometimes people just want to sell jewelry. We can either do consignment, trade-ins, or outright purchases.
Is there a cost for the appraisals?
If they want it for insurance or estate, there is a fee because we write it down and document everything. But if they just want a verbal in order to sell it, there's no appraisal fee.
So you offer a wide array of services besides fixing jewelry and being creative and transforming a new piece or an old piece. What else do you guys do at the store?
Well, we have about $1 million worth of inventory.
Yeah.
So I find that kind of funny because sometimes we don't even... sell out of our case, but we use it as inspiration for what we can create. So anytime people have a celebration, we will have something in all price ranges. I just made two showcases all with $1,000 and less, and it was helpful for me because I wanted to see what could I offer in that price point. But there's so much to choose from, and it's a lot of it you can personalize and add a gem or do something to, you know, kind of bring out a symbol. Symbols are very near and dear to my heart. So I try to, one time this gentleman, they had had 50 foster children, and he wanted to get her a piece of jewelry that symbolized all the foster kids that they had taken care of through the years. And we found a piece of jewelry with 50 stones. So we'll go under the microscope and count just to try to create, you know, that extra
unforgettable piece.
Yeah, that it, you know, if he writes it in a card, at each of these diamonds sparkles like, you know, the foster kids that we helped, you know. And I help write the cards for the men too.
Right.
I always say, if she loves it, you get all the credit. If she doesn't, blame it on me.
So if somebody came in and they wanted you to make a custom piece, you could do that as well.
Yes.
Like somebody just comes in and say, hey, I've had this idea in my head and, you know, I'm getting older and bolder, and I don't want to leave all the money that I have for my children and my grandchildren, so I'd like to weigh it on my hand. You can sit down with them.
Yes, we actually had one client. Her husband did not want her to change her ring, but we could not size it because she needed it bigger, and it had crackles inside of the underside of the ring. So we cut it in three pieces. The sides were two, and then the center was one, and we inlaid it into this other ring. And it was almost like everything she had now had sparkle around it. And it literally was custom, but it wasn't because the ring was already in existence. So most custom designers like to start from scratch, which cost a lot more money, usually $600 to $1,000 just for the idea. So I like to see what's already been created, because why do we need to reinvent the wheel?
Yeah.
And find something that they can tangibly hold and then put their jewelry assembled inside of it, so that they're not like looking at a piece of paper and saying, I wonder what that's going to look like. I try to have a very three-dimensional view. And if we need to customize it, we can do an AutoCAD and, you know, make that kind of...
Do you find... I mean, you offer a wide selection. I know, because I went to the website and I saw it. I know that.
Stop looking, Zita.
But I saw it. And but do you find that your best sellers are rings? Or what is the best
seller? In my store, they are, because most of my inventory is rings. And I buy with what I love, along with what I know will sell. And for some reason, rings are just something that you can personally look at, whereas... earrings, necklace, somebody else admires that, and you can see it when you look in the mirror. So if it's really a statement piece, I think a ring or a bracelet is my suggestion.
And do you do like a mark of integrity on your pieces? Like sometimes they mark the jewelry and they put something
like
on
a logo?
Yeah.
My initials are SOS, and so I've been trying to think of how to mark it, and I thought of doing an S with like a diamond in the middle with the S, and my grandparents is S and S, their trademark. So I thought it would be similar, but it would be my own. So
like a little cut.
That is cute.
You put something in the back. Now let's talk about financing, because a lot of people would like to give the lady love or the gentleman in their life, or maybe their grandchildren, a friend, a piece of jewelry, but people can't afford it, especially now with COVID-19 and people losing jobs and stuff. How do they finance their jewelry?
So
is there an option for that?
We do finance repairs. Yeah. We do that, which is usually a three-month layaway. And a lot of times we'll do like it sectioned out into thirds. But if they like a piece of jewelry that I can reproduce, we could literally lay away it as long as they want, because we'll just accrue money on their account. And as it gets closer, we'll order it and, you know, basically, you know, give it to them at their comfort level. Yeah.
I know my kids and I went to L.A. and we went into that very expensive store in L.A. Was it Tiffany I told you? Mm. I'm not sure if it was.
Is either Tiffany or Cartier?
I think it was Tiffany. And so Jasmine says, well, I'm going to be a lawyer, and, you know, I have some money in the bank, and, you know, everybody's like, okay, we're going to go into Tiffany's. The cheapest thing there was like thousands of dollars, and we're like, we'll be right back.
Got to go to the ATM.
But then, of course, my phone had died, so I'm sitting in Tiffany's with my phone plugged into the wall, and I'm sitting there like, and I see the security guard looking at me. I'm like, phone, you know, problems. He let me sit there and charge my phone.
He didn't know what a classy lady you were. He thought you were like one of those people bumming some energy.
He let me charge my phone in Tiffany's. And so Jasmine said to the lady, when I become an attorney, I'm coming back. I'm just in school right now. But I mean, a few thousand dollars in the bank was, you couldn't even buy anything in there.
So that's kind of unique, because our color of our boxes is Tiffany blue. And there's not a Tiffany's in town, but there's a Stacy's.
Yes. Yes, we need to push that, because, you know, like, your store, you know, it's in a great location. We know you. We trust you. And I think when you're buying jewelry, it's about respect and trust and the guidance that someone gives you with that certain piece. And you offer all of that. We've seen you for so many years at ABWA, and you always talk about Stacy Sullivan's Jewelries. And we always, like, listen, but some people show up to the events and some people don't.
Uh-huh.
But I think more people need to come into the store and see what you have to offer, because you offer a wide selection.
We do.
And like you say, if you have things under $1,000, I mean, that's not bad at all compared to other
genuine
places.
Genuine stones.
Yeah. And she's also very smart, because when I ran into her at the Melby, she was wearing a piece for advertisement. So that's very ingenious, because if you're wearing it and they like it, come in and buy it.
That's right. So give our listeners the website and a phone number and your physical address, because I know that people were confused with a couple of stores, because
sure.
A person at work told me, is that the store on 192 or is it the one here? And I don't think they realized you were just across from the Hotel Melby.
Yes. So across from Hotel Melby is 1916 Waverly Place, and that's in downtown Melbourne. 32901. My website is just my name, stacisullivan.com. And you could always text or call 321-978-2200. And I am proud to say that we have people send us jewelry from out of the area as well. And we're very friendly with COVID. We learned how to have, you know, virtual meetings with people from their houses. Yeah. And then our,
they trust you.
The jewelry, they would just drop off, and then we would come up with ideas. But a lot of times, rather than coming into the store without conversing first, if they were to email me or text me some pictures of what they're looking for, it helps give me a guide, and I can actually send things in. So when they're in, they have a personalized, kind of like a concierge service, rather than just coming in and explaining, it's kind of like this, but a little bit like that. And then they have to come back for the second time. You know, we can kind of do the legwork in the get-go.
Yeah.
When they call
Do you
me.
Charge, Stacey, for cleaning the jewelry?
No, there's no charge.
Do you use steam or do you use the hotbed?
We're a steamer store.
Oh, that's fabulous. So people don't know the difference between that, but steaming does makes the stones look brand new.
Yeah, it's our secret.
I'll be in this week.
We have 2 minutes left, and I really
ancient Sullivan secret.
We have 2 minutes left, and if you could answer this really quickly, what are your policies about warranties and returns? Do you have such a thing?
Yes. Warranties, we like to see the jewelry at least twice a year in order to maintain its integrity. If any stones are loose and it's from us and it's a warranty issue, we tighten it while you wait if the jeweler's there. Otherwise, we'll, you know, turn it around. A lot of engagement customers want something sized quick. We can do that. We basically want to keep the jewelry as minimal as possible to get it back. But as far as our return, I do a 10-day full return, no problem, as long as it's in the same condition.
What a great segment, Ellen. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. I feel like we could talk all day about jewelry.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much for all that you do for the community, because you are you're out there quite a bit, and your story is inspiring for other women, is inspiring
for
families.
Yeah. Well, a lot, like my kids, nobody wants to go into medicine. Mm-hmm. And nobody wants to have a business like we have, but it's great to see somebody follow in the footsteps of their grandparents and the people that came before you and put in the blood, sweat, and tears to make Stacey Sullivan's
give
jewelry.
Give us a ring and we'll help you shine.
Oh my God! Another Facebook post.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Thank you so much, Sita, once again, for coming up with all of these fantastic guests, like Miss Stacey Sullivan that's here with us, and Miss Anoop Judge, who was on our call earlier this morning. Folks, we'll be here every Monday right here at 1 o'clock. Join us for Viewpoint with Sita and Friends on AM 1510 WWBC.
I have some...
Listening to WWBC, COCO, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, COCO, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, and Palm Bay, 100.7 FM.